ready to resume. This is a discussion on the special category land with particular regard to the open space and the replacement land. The first issue we had here was at Queensway, and in particular the replacement of the Mark Eaton Bridge, which has been considered as a loss of public open space as far as the applicant is concerned, but Derby City Council in their response suggests that it's not currently public open space for the purposes of the acquisition procedures, which needs to be replaced. So I think perhaps we'd look to the City Council first just to expand on that position. It's your answer to question 13.61 of the first written questions.
So while the City Council are just getting their heads around that, can I just clarify something I said earlier this morning? I said that the land that was being acquired at the Territorial Army Base was replacement land. It isn't. It was originally considered that it might be, and for some reason it stuck in my head that that was the position, but it is not replacement land, the MOD land that's being acquired at the Territorial Army Centre.
Thank you.
Sir John Green, Derby City Council. Just looking at that now, I understand that, having looked at our land terrier, it appears that that may not actually be City Council land in our ownership. There seems to be some sort of
Henry Nams, sorry, Derby City Council. I checked this with our colleagues in the state. As John said, the terrier was looked at. It looked at that was land that was transferred, I think, in 1985 or 86 to the Department for Transport or whatever the predecessor to the Department for Transport. We did check that, and it wasn't showing up as in City Council ownership. So we queried whether that was in fact designated as public open space, the land underneath the bridge.
From the perspective, Highways England have checked this in terms of what is designated. I think the designation of public open space isn't dependent on ownership, so therefore land can be designated as public open space even if it's in another party's ownership apart from the council. And it's our understanding that this land is designated as public open space, albeit it isn't owned by the City Council, which is why it's been included. Thank you.
And that the ownership that it is in, presumably that's clear and covered in the book of reference if it's not in Derby City's ownership.
Yes, yeah, so it is covered by the book of reference. I understand that a large part of it is unregistered land.
Right, okay.
But that will be covered by reference if you check the plots within the within the book of reference. It should be covered. It'll be covered okay. There.
Thank you for that. The next point we had was in relation to the replacement land at Queensway and its acceptability as replacement land for the public open space. There seemed to be some inconsistency in the City Council's position, in as much as there is reference to an agreement in principle that the replacement land is acceptable, but then again in your later responses, there is some doubt cast on this particular piece of land in terms of whether it would be suitable, having regard to the surface water attenuation features and the other activities which are proposed to go on there. So what I wanted to do was just to, clearly there needs to be a discussion about, you know, the form of the surface water attenuation facilities, but I just wanted to separate that out from the acceptability in principle in terms of the size, the configuration, the position of that piece of land, whether or not that is acceptable to the City Council as replacement open space.
Hilary Nelms, Derby City Council. As you say, I think there's been agreement in principle, and certainly in the Statement of Common Ground, we have agreed that through our discussions that would be an acceptable replacement. land. I think more perhaps some more clarity about the use of the land for highway drainage attenuation perhaps is necessary. I believe that the pumping station has been taken out of the calculation for replacement public open space. I've had some discussions with my highway drainage colleague, and I think he has some view about the perhaps the suitability or the potential enhancements that could be done to the drainage attenuation to make this a more compatible use perhaps with open space. I did make some comments about the storage facility that underlies obviously the open space, and I think we were considering the suitability of this, you know, within an open space area. I believe the land is going to be held by Highways England anyway, and in that they will hold the land and obviously maintain the land in future. It was really looking at that as usable open space. I mean, we have had discussions about this, and we have considered that this would be suitable as replacement open space, but I think obviously as things have developed, the design has developed, and it was the sort of extent to the area being used for perhaps drainage attenuation in the extent that it was being used in terms of the volumes that were necessary. And obviously this perhaps will be picked up further tomorrow with land drainage colleagues in terms of treatment of any runoff, for instance, off the highway into Mill Pond. That's perhaps a separate issue, but I think we have said in the statement of common ground that we are happy in principle with this. I think there are a few more details that perhaps could be discussed, and I know that perhaps the applicant will confirm and expand on the extent that they need this land for attenuation, and that might, you know, explain perhaps to us some of these features.
Yes, I think that there seemed to be a aspiration for the attenuation to take more of a suds solution, which presumably would be more, if I say, land hungry than the underground storage which is currently proposed, and which therefore may further impinge on its usability as open space. And it's trying to understand where that balance lies. And certainly if you have concerns about its usability with the scheme as it's currently proposed with underground storage, then those concerns presumably become magnified if there is a more subspace solution.
I think in terms of replacement land, I mean, we've discussed this, in fact, that the areas of public open space to be lost on the Mark Eaton side obviously are adjacent to the highway. They are being replaced with land that is obviously of a similar category in that it's adjacent to the highway. It forms a linear route. It is a space, as I perhaps said in my response to questions, a space that you wouldn't perhaps linger in, and in terms of its use as public open space, you know, you wouldn't stop and have a picnic next to the carriageway. So it acts as a sort of a linear area of open space in that it has a footway and highway. So I see it more as a sort of a space to pass through rather than a space to linger in. So it was whether we could look at the highway drainage attenuation and make that more compatible perhaps with an open space use rather than it being a large underground storage that would limit the usage perhaps of what could, you know, what could be used in terms of the surface. For instance, additional tree planting, because obviously I'm aware that there will be a big impact on the loss on the northern side of the carriageway in terms of mature trees. Having large areas of drainage attenuation could potentially limit what landscape design treatment could be used. So it was more in terms of the detail, I think.
Thank you. If I could just kind of take that one stage further. So at the moment, the proposal for surface water attenuation is a mix of some open ponds and some underground storage. The applicant's position, if I understand it, is that underground storage allows more of that space to be used as open space. If we went to more towards your scheme of things, where there was a more perhaps open storage ponds and that kind of thing, you would still be content that, albeit that there wouldn't be kind of direct access to those areas, that would still qualify as open space and wouldn't impinge on the ability of the applicant to provide the necessary amount of open space.
I think that we're looking at it in terms of usable open space, in terms of it being grass that would be on top of the attenuation feature, if you like. As I said earlier, I think I don't see it more as an area where people would perhaps linger, play football, or carry out other activities that they might do on an area of open space that perhaps is in the middle of a larger park. It's obviously, by its very nature, it will be adjacent to the carriageway. So I think we considered that perhaps there could be more imaginative use of suds, perhaps some bigger ponds in terms of, you know, blue infrastructure rather than just green infrastructure in terms of just amenity grassland, that perhaps there could be some more imaginative use that would be interesting and give more amenity to people perhaps passing through the space rather than people lingering within that space and using it in a more conventional way that you would use public open space. I think that was our view. If that could be incorporated within that would be an acceptable, from our point of view, an acceptable use. There are other areas of water, obviously, in terms of Mill Pond and Mill Dam in the vicinity, and that provides interesting amenity, and obviously it provides perhaps a greater biodiversity amenity also for that space, rather than just grassland covering drainage attenuation crates or whatever, whatever that is.
Okay, thank you. Perhaps looking at the applicant to respond to what you've heard.
So we will respond. I think what might be helpful is actually if we just talk through the land that's being lost, what it is, where it is, what it's currently used for, and then actually look at the replacement land that's being provided, because I think I should know the statutory tests off the top of my head, but I don't. I will dig them out in a moment. I think it's about the same size and has to function in the same way as the open space that's being lost. So I was just going to ask Simon Betts from ACOM just to talk us through very quickly the land that's being lost, where it is, and what is currently done on it or can be done on it in respect of open space, where that land's being provided. And then really around this kind of question around the driver of why the open space is being provided, it being suitable, and then the extent to which other things can be accommodated within it.
I think there's a phrase of no less advantageous to. Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Simon Betts, ACOM, on behalf of Highways England. So I think it's probably worth just stepping back for a moment to talk about the in-principle position as well, because there's been a number of questions that were posed to Derby City Council. But from our point of view, there is agreement reached in principle. That was confirmed in Derby City's response to question 13.61 at deadline one. We also have a draft statement of common ground with Derby City Council, and that reaffirms the position that there is agreement in principle for both the loss of public open space and the provision for replacement land. Just picking up some of the issues that were just discussed, in terms of the character and aspects of the permanent loss to the northwestern side of the A38, you've got a series of very narrow linear strips of land which makes up a number of different plots. If you are in a position where you're at the site, it is very clear that that area of land is on the very fringes of Mark Eaton Park. It is immediately next to the A38 highway. In terms of recreational value and amenity, although Mark Eaton Park is clearly a very high value asset, being one of the two city parks within the Derby City Council administrative area, this particular land is certainly a means to pass by the park, or a means to sort of enter into the park itself. So in that sense, in comparing the existing, the replacement lands on the other side of the A38, with the Queensway land, which is the principal area of replacement land, it is similar in nature, but actually we think it's preferable because there is an opportunity to set that land further back from the highway itself, consolidate it with other existing areas of public open space as well. So I think if we're thinking about the tests of relative size and proximity, then I think the replacement land at Queensway scores very favourably in that regard. I don't know whether we now want to just pick up some of the detailed matters in relation to the treatment of the Queensway land as well. Would that be helpful?
Yes, it would be, yes.
Yeah. So, obviously, for the purpose of calculating loss and replacement public open space, I think not just in relation to the Queensway land, but in all aspects where there's loss and provision for replacement, our approach has been to follow a worst-case scenario. So in that respect, this area of land, we've excluded from our calculations, obviously, the pumping station, which is a feature on the Queensway replacement land. So in that sense, it's not, strictly speaking, counting as a provision of replacement land. In relation to the pond feature, although that has clearly a link with the highway improvements being, in part at least to address a drainage of the highway network, we still believe there's opportunity to, create a feature built around the pond itself and other sort of, landscape elements that will make it actually more of an attractive open space. So in that sense, we feel that actually, going back again to the relative size and proximity points, yes, it does meet those tests, in our opinion. But also, we feel there's opportunity through the design, and we're committed to undertaking those further discussions with Derby City Council to reach an agreed solution in terms of that design. There is opportunity to make it more of a destination in its own right. Clearly, the fact that there is a replacement footbridge, that there is a physical link between the two elements of open space, which will be maintained. So in that sense, there's safe access between those two areas of existing and proposed replacement open space as well. So I don't know whether you want to anything further in that respect. Or?
So having heard what you've heard about the City Council's preference for the use of softer, more imaginative means of providing the surface water attenuation and the effect or otherwise that may have on the function of the replacement open spaces as a publicly accessible open space, is that something that you would consider further?
Can I, I think before Mr. Betts comes in, I think the first point from High Rise England's perspective is it needs to deliver its obligations in respect to provision of replacement land.
Yeah.
So it cannot agree to anything that would lead to there being a deficit in terms, because that simply doesn't meet the tests that are required for compulsory acquisition. So whilst High Rise England is happy to discuss with the City Council how that open space may be managed, it cannot lead to a situation where there could be a case that somebody turned around and said, well, this now doesn't function as open space in the same way, and therefore you haven't provided the necessary. So the starting point has to be that the necessary quantum of open space is being provided, and that it is no less, I can't remember the word you said, no less advantageous.
Yeah.
Than the land that is currently there. So that has to be the starting point, and that has to be complied with from a statutory perspective. Insofar as discussions can take place around how the drainage features are dealt with and other things. I think Mr. Betts has said that Highways England is happy to discuss those with the City Council, but it has to be in the context of the starting point of why that land is being delivered. And in a sense, if those other things can be done, it's a benefit, but it cannot compromise the delivery of that replacement land.
I think that's understood. There seem to be actually very similar things being said in terms of using surface water features as open space, provided the landscaping is appropriate, if you like. I think that's what you were saying the current scheme does. I seem to think that Derby City Council were making similar points in terms of SUDS-type features. So it's about the landscaping, and so there seem to be similar points being made on both sides. Mm.
Sir, may I just add something further on that point? Simon Betts, ACOM member, Highways England. With reference to table 5.3 within the planning statements, that sets out the proposed replacement land areas, and that does clarify that the pond feature itself has been excluded from the calculations in terms of provision of replacement land. So in that respect, we are achieving the balance of land needed as replacement land for land to be lost, irrespective of, I suppose, the discussions about the acceptability of that pond feature. So notwithstanding that, the balance of remaining land around that feature is maintained in any event.
Okay. So can I ask that discussions on this continue to see whether there is a mutually acceptable balance between the scheme that is before us at the moment and Derby City's aspiration to achieve a more SUDS-based solution, accepting, of course, that and I take your point entirely that the quantum of open space must be provided.
Simon Betts, ACOM. Yes, sir, we'd be absolutely happy to do that, and may we suggest that an update to that discussion could feature in the next round of the Statements of Common Ground.
Yeah, okay, thank you for that. The next point was really a more general one on the suitability of the replacement land, and we're looking for an update on the discussions about the suitability of the replacement land that the applicant has had with landowners and other parties with existing rights over land which is proposed for open space.
Simon Betts, ACOM, on behalf of Highways England. Sir, in terms of the replacement land, particularly the land at Queensway, the principal landowner there is Derby City Council.
Yeah.
I also understand that I think Derby University may be a landowner as well. So what we have tried to do is focus our discussions with the principal landowner in this respect, and also the Derby City Council in respect of his role as the local planning authority. I may need others to just update whether there have been any separate discussions with other landowners. So we don't believe there have been any further separate discussions.
I wonder whether those discussions also take into account the need to acquire the land by compulsory acquisition, or whether alternatives have been explored.
Simon Betts, ACOM, on behalf of Highways England. Sir, yes, I'd be happy to give you some background now in terms of some of the alternatives considered historically, and give you a brief overview of that, if that would be helpful.
Please.
So it's true to say that ACOM have been in discussions with Derby City Council on this issue for 2 years or more. In that respect, we have looked at alternative sites for replacement land. Table 5.1 within the planning statement sets out a summary of those alternate candidate sites. So I'll just briefly move through those areas. Perhaps if we can just bring up the special category land plans, and just referring to sheet 2 to begin with, please. So as not to cause confusion here, there is an area of land within and wrapped around by the highway itself, i.e. Brackensdale Avenue. So there's an area of existing open land, which was previously discussed with Derby City Council as a potential candidate site. That particular one performed well in terms of relative proximity to land to be lost, but it was Derby City Council's position that there was evidential use of that land for informal recreational purposes, and therefore it couldn't be considered as suitable replacement land. Just moving on to sheet three, if we may. The second area which was considered is land between Greenwich Drive North and Kingsway. That's it. So that was an area that was considered as well. At the time, it was thought to have some potential. It does have some links with other open spaces in the area, and therefore, in terms of green infrastructure, it could have been seen to perform quite well. The reason that particular land was discounted was because it is enclosed by roads on both sides and is therefore less desirable in qualitative terms. It was also the case that evidence of informal use could not actually be fully ruled out in this respect. So our conclusion on that one was that it was otherwise unsuitable. Just sticking with sheet three for now.
Before you go on, Mr. Betts, I think my question was not so much about alternative areas which may be considered, but whether alternatives to acquisition by statutory powers by compulsory acquisition had been considered, or the replacement land.
So as I understand it, there were some early discussions with Derby City about possibly acquiring the land, but they didn't progress. I think I might be speculating here, but I think there have been some discussions with Derby City Council about that element. Insofar as there have been engagement with the other landowners, I'm hoping Ms. Harding Edgar can update us in terms of whether those and the extent to which discussions have taken place so far.
I think so. I'm going to have to
if I may, Simon Betts, ACOM. In relation to the proposal for acquiring the land by agreement, I think that there was a discussion that took place. It was some time ago. It wasn't pursued any further because there was uncertainty about the process that Derby City Council would have to go to in order to, reach agreement on, effectively selling off an area of public open space. So it was felt to be a significant process that would require a significant amount of effort in order to secure that agreement, and there was quite a lot of risk involved in that process. So I think from that point we moved to a position of looking at compulsory acquisition.
Sir John Green, City Council. Myself and my colleague Hilary obviously are not aware of that, so that may well have taken place sort of prior to us at the City Council, so obviously can't really speak in regard to that. I think what I would have to say in terms of these areas of land that have been offered as alternatives is I appreciate that obviously the Highways Agency can't give us land of which they don't possess. And the issue is obviously the extent of the order land, which very much obviously restricts that. So it's very difficult, and that to say we don't want to be obstructive about it. We appreciate they can't give us what they haven't got, but obviously some of the alternatives that are being put forward are not ideal alternatives in terms of quantity, yes, qualitative, no. But I appreciate, that it's difficult, they can't give us what they don't have, and that's another reason why earlier on in our discussions this morning I did raise the question potentially of a financial contribution towards additional land outside of the order land.
I think it would be probably helpful if you could put a little bit more meat on that for us, if possible, in perhaps as a written submission. Yeah. Just explain that qualitative case, yeah, if you will.
I'll certainly do that, just by way of an initial example. Looking at the area of land we've just been discussing, which is on Brackensdale Avenue. Obviously, we have the area of land there at the moment, and the additional area of land, which is currently a road at the moment is what's proposed to make up part of that public open space. And as you can see, I don't particularly consider that to be quality public open space, just by way of an example. And that's one of the reasons, as I say, we would like to obviously look at other alternatives, but again...
I think if you were able to provide that qualitative, and please, if you can make it specific to specific plots as you're able to, because we need to look, you know, there are specific tests that we need to look at. I think the test is that the replacement land is no less advantageous to people with access to open land, if you will. So it's, I think that would be helpful, actually, if you could do that. And then we can ask the applicant to respond and see where we get to.
So it might be helpful if Mr. Peets just explains, in respect to the other landowners, where those discussions have got to.
Yeah. Simon Peets, Valuation Office Agency. As part of the process of exploring the acquisition by agreement, I have had discussions with various landowners, which would include Derby City, Derby University as well. I think initially, I think I met with you actually, John, in April, at the start of the process of pre-submission, to discuss the list of plots, not in the context necessarily of replacement public open space, but generally about acquisition of land owned by Derby City Council. And that discussion revolved around the plans. Those plots that were half width and existing road, which don't have intrinsically have a value, and those areas which were amenity or open space that do have that sort of value. So I think there was an initial discussion around acquisition by agreement, which will move forward. And that also has happened with the other landowners, including, as I said, Derby University. I've had discussions with them and meetings with their agents recently. So whatever wasn't specifically public open space, the acquisition of that land by agreement has been discussed. Just wanted to make that point.
Thank you. Thanks. Sir, sorry, I have a bit of a chair squiggle around. I need to just make one final point in respect of public open space. Firstly, the application and the red line that is in front of this examination is the application and red line that is in front of this examination. There is almost no ability, I won't say no, but there is almost no ability to amend that at this stage. As Mr. Betts has said, there's been significant engagement with the City Council over the suitability in those areas of replacement land. Over the last few years, and it has always been High Res England's understanding that those areas were acceptable to the City Council in terms of their suitability as replacement land, and that they weren't looking for other areas for replacement. I have to also come back on the idea of a fund that might be available. That simply doesn't meet the tests that are required in respect of the provision of replacement land. So I'm afraid even if High Res England wanted to do something like that, it simply will not meet the tests in terms of the provision of replacement land.
Hilary Nelms, Derby City Council. I just want to make a point about the Brackensdale Avenue. Obviously, the exchange, the road that's going to be stopped up. One thing I have said in my responses to you, sir, is that actually this does make the area perhaps more usable and of more immediate value, and that it will attach to an area which is currently unavailable and accessible. So I would like to make that point, that I think that there is some benefit to be gained from that, in that it will be accessible for the local residents, whereas at present it's separated obviously from them by the slip road. So there is perhaps a point to be made there, that does make that area a larger, perhaps more usable area of open space than perhaps we said before.
Okay. So, but that will be wrapped up in your written submission on the question of alternatives.
I think obviously these are points that require care in terms of how you express your concerns, I think, and reflecting on the matter you've just raised and equivalence of the quality as well as the area. We're very keen to hear your points, notwithstanding the matters that the applicant has raised. We're keen to hear your points, but obviously would encourage you to take care in the way that you make those, obviously. But thank you.
The next issue we had was, again, in response to one of our first written questions, which was to do with the triggers required to secure acquisitions before compulsory acquisition under the DCO. And we had responses from the interested parties on that. However, again, the City Council raised a point which really boils down to, should the trigger mechanisms be introduced to ensure that suitable notice would be allowed to prepare for vacant possession if the acquisitions involve third parties? Is perhaps I'd look to the City Council in the first instance to just explain that position a little bit further, and then we'll come on to the applicant's response.
We're receiving blank looks.
Yeah. Hilary Knowles, Derby City Council. Sorry, could you please repeat that question? I didn't catch
that. There was a question raised in the first written questions about whether it was felt that there should be any triggers before compulsory acquisition powers should be allowed, if you will. And there was a response from Derby City Council suggesting that there might be a case for trigger mechanisms being introduced to ensure that suitable notice would be allowed to prepare for vacant possession. For example, if proposed acquisitions or consents might involve third parties. Do we want to take this one in writing?
I think this perhaps refers to potentially perhaps the covenant again, that that there should be adequate notice given to the Mundy family. We've already discussed this in terms of notice before land is exchanged or take. There's the loss of public open space.
Yeah.
I think we made a point as well that ourselves that perhaps there needs to be notice given so that the public is aware that there will be areas of the park, for instance, that Mark Eaton Park, that will be taken in terms of losses of public open space. It's defining really the process of how temporary acquisition of land will be dealt with, as we discussed earlier, and also where there's permanent loss of public open space. If there is a loss, if we go through a process of advertising that loss, for instance, if we dispose of any public open space, there is a process that's gone through, so there's, as I say, it's advertised and the public are aware of this. I think it's just that process of making the public aware.
How does that relate to preparation for vacant possession? I'm not quite sure of that one. Should we? I suggest we ask this in writing. We put this as a action point.
Thank you.
And there might be more opportunity to revisit the previous statements that were made. And
thank you.
Yeah. We'll cover that in writing if that's okay. Yeah.
Those were the points that we had on Crown lands, statutory undertakers and special category land. Are there any other points that people would like to raise on those matters before we move on the agenda? No. Okay, well, in that case, we move on to item 6. And again, any affected persons or interested parties who consider that their rights are affected by compulsory acquisition and would like to make a submission at this stage? I don't think there are. Okay, so item 7 then is issues and actions arising. Again, to reiterate something that Stuart said earlier in the day, if you have spoken today, it would assist us if you could provide a written version of your submissions. And the deadline for that, please, is the 19th of December, which is deadline 3 in the examination table. Our summary of the actions arising from the hearing and the audio recording of the hearing will be published on the website as soon as practical. Please refer to the website for details of the next step in the examination. Just a reminder that there will be an open floor hearing held in this room at 6 o'clock this evening, with seating available from 5:30. I think we've covered everything that's on the agenda, unless anyone, final call for anyone who wishes to raise any other matters at this stage.
So I do have another matter to raise, which hopefully will assist tomorrow slightly. Since the last hearing, we've had a number of meetings with Derbyshire County Council, Derby City Council and the Derwent Valley Mills World Heritage Partnership in respect of the impact of the scheme on the World Heritage Site. Those discussions have been very productive, and as of yesterday, I think, we've reached agreement certainly with Derbyshire County Council, hopefully with Derby City Council, but we haven't had that confirmation yet, in respect of the following issues around the impact on the Derwent Valley Mills site. So the first of this, and I think what hopefully with confirmation from the County Council this will mean, is that a couple of the points that we were going to deal with tomorrow, I think particularly around the viaduct, now no longer need to be considered.
Right.
So the points that have been agreed is that the scheme design at Little Eaton Junction is appropriate in terms of the World Heritage setting. So the County Council has no further issues with that. You'll correct me if I'm wrong in any of these. That the scheme effects on the World Heritage Site are as detailed in the environmental statement. Therefore, the County Council is taking no further points there. That the scheme effects on the surrounding landscape at the Little Eaton Junction are as set out in the environmental statement. I think there were some questions there. And agreement in principle about the mitigation features included in the scheme design at Little Eaton. There's an obligation there for Highways England to consult with the County Council, the City Council and the World Heritage Partnership in terms of some of the detailed design there around the flood compensation area. I think Derbyshire County Council has also confirmed that their position on heritage and landscape aspects to align those to the Derwent Valley Mills partnership. So effectively, the partnership is also comfortable in respect of those things, and it will not be pursuing the viaduct option or need any further consideration of that as set out in their local impact report or written representation.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. That's good to know. Clearly, there may be people who are turning up for tomorrow's hearing which won't have heard what you've said this evening, so we'll need to review that in any case tomorrow. Is there something in writing imminent?
There's a meeting note.
There's a briefing note, sir. Yes, that we agreed.
If that could be given to Bart as soon as possible.
Right. Are you happy for that agreed?
Yes, that's fine. I think Simon drafted
that
on our behalf.
That would be helpful.
Yeah. Okay, it's been agreed. And I mean, we're happy to say this again at the start of the hearing. I just thought, in terms of your preparation and anticipation of what we need to cover tomorrow, there's quite
a
lot to get
through.
Well,
thank you for that.
To be able to, obviously subject to anyone else wanting to raise any questions, I think the fact that the County Council no longer wants to pursue that, I think, will be helpful.
Yeah, just on that point, so my two colleagues were going to attend tomorrow, Adam Lathbury and Gary Ellis, representing the World Heritage Site Partnership and the County Council as a landscape architect. So it was an issue they've asked me to raise with you. Do you still want them to attend, as we sort of resolve this issue with Highways England now?
I think it would be helpful, because we can't rule out the possibility that it will be raised by other parties and that there'll still be an issue to be discussed.
In that respect, could Mr. Buffery deal with it insofar as it is? I mean, you'll be here tomorrow for the County Council.
I attended the meeting
ACOM
last week, so I'm familiar with the issues that have been raised.
I'll have to leave it to you, Mr. Buffery, in terms of if you feel you're able to deal with points which may arise.
Yes, I think so. I'm familiar with the issues, sir. I've been involved with these sort of meetings and discussions with my colleagues on that particular issue.
Okay. There's another issue on the Little Eaton Junction which relates to the green belt and openness. Does the agreement that's been reached between the County Council and the applicant encompass that as well?
No, the agreement doesn't relate to Greenbelt and openness.
No, okay.
It's just in relation to the World Heritage Site.
But the issue is intrinsically linked from the County Council's written representations. You're aware that the impact on the openness was essentially related to the landscape and visual impacts and the impact on the World Heritage Site.
Yeah.
So, in effect, that issue is probably now being addressed as well in terms of impact on the openness of the Greenbelt, where I think we're satisfied that the impact will be certainly minimal compared to what we initially assessed it as being prior to the initial work that ACOM have done on this issue for us.
We may still have questions about the Greenbelt impact, and if you feel you're in a position to talk to those, then fine. If not, then I think it still would be helpful to have your colleagues available.
Okay. Well, the Greenbelt issue was I prepared the County Council's representations of that part of the statement, so that's something I'm very familiar with.
Okay, thank you. Right, any other matters before we finish? So, thank you all for your assistance today, and if you're not joining us for the open floor hearing, safe journey home. This hearing is now closed. Thank you.